Hello, everyone, and welcome from here in the capital city of Austin, Texas. This is Capital Geek, a podcast dedicated to the founders and operators that create the products we love and turn them into fabulous companies with meaningful exits. Whether you're raising your first round of capital or racing toward an IPO, this is where we deep dive on the lessons learned from seasoned industry veterans, geeks of all types, the experts leading product and engineering teams, operations and finance, or sales and marketing, and we'll both learn from their mistakes and celebrate their successes while providing a roadmap for you to accelerate your own journey toward success. My name is Josh Stevens, CTO at Elsewhere Partners, and I am the Capital Geek. On this episode of Capital Geek, we geek out with Vijay Navaluri, co-founder and chief customer officer at TechForce AI. We talked to Vijay about his background, what it was like growing up in India, and why he thinks that AI-driven digital assistants are going to become commonplace for knowledge workers. Let's get to it. Vijay, welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you here.
Great to have you be on the show, Josh.
Maybe before we get started talking about your company and what you guys are doing, you could just sort of introduce yourself to the audience and tell us a little bit about how you got here. Where are you from?
I'm from a place called Hyderabad in India, basically. And been all around the world, been in the US, been in the India, been in Europe during my 15 years of career. Now I'm a co-founder of a company called TechForce.ai. It's an AI automation startup based out of Reston, Virginia in the US. And we have offices in India as well.
What were you doing before TechForce AI?
So I've been a technology consultant throughout my career, Josh. Been helping companies digitally transform their businesses using technology. Worked for firms like Deloitte, Capgemini, some large consulting firms helping companies to define and start their digital transformation journeys. That's been my consulting career. And before that, I was actually did a short stint with some startups and some product companies building the products. So I came back to building products with my new stint as an entrepreneur.
And what inspired you guys to start TechForce AI?
So when you work with so many customers doing the same thing and again and you are helping them. Yeah, first couple of times it was fun, but then you start seeing that, hey, there's so much stuff that we are doing same thing all over for every new customer. We thought, there should be a better way to do that. That's been the idea. Then parallelly been inspired by people like, Elon Musk doing, electric cars, autonomous cars and, reusable rockets. So we thought, what the heck? And if the same work to be done again and again every day, if people are building so complex stuff, why can't we build an autonomous workforce company who actually can, using technology and AI, and help companies to reinvent how they do business? That's the seeding thought to build an autonomous workforce company. And seeing the opportunity of doing the same stuff all over again and again, then thought, let's do this.
That's really fantastic. I worked at a company called INS for many years after I was in the Air Force, and we had a group of the most qualified network engineers and cybersecurity experts in the world building out large deployments and complex systems. But a similar focus, we realized we were doing the same work over and over and over. And so mm-hmm. we began to pool experts and create collateral and templates and methodologies that made them easier to repeat over time. I would imagine that when it comes to today's, super high demand workforce items like AI development, that it's especially hard to find talent and keep them. So I would think that TechForce AI would be a natural solution to that problem.
Yeah, I mean, whoever I spoke to, and we spoke to almost 100 plus customers today and a lot of our partners, whoever we speak to, everybody resonates with this cause of, why... a lot of repetitive that stuff that goes on. I think the genesis is the way that enterprises and companies are built, they are built on processes. The process means repetitively doing something in a very standard way. So that's how enterprises run. They can't just be doing every time something new. That's not what enterprises are meant for. So I think the whole underlying foundation of repetitiveness and processes is what actually drives this, this enterprise technology economy. That's when we thought there's an opportunity to disrupt that, right? And why should people be doing the same thing all over again, and companies spending so much unproductive time and work on those resources, whereas the world is having so many bigger problems to solve. So that's the driving point for us, right? All the time we see there's so much unproductivity, and if we can give the time back to humanity, we can augment our achievements much faster. That's what drives us.
And so maybe you could explain to us a little bit in more detail what TechForce AI does. I'm a little bit confused. Is it providing the experts to build, or is it automating that through an AI engine on the back end?
So we are a software company. So we are not a consulting company providing AI experts to companies. We are a software company. We are trying to give enterprises an ability to build their own digital workforce, right? You can call them as digital employees, or you can call them AI employees, AI workforce. We call them e-workforce. The idea is, what we see in the next 5 to 10 years, a lot of this repetitive work can be done by those digital workers, and you can actually have all these human workers focusing a lot of value adding or change specific work than punching data into applications, right? But there are so much drudgery that happens at the work every day, which people do not want to really do it just because it's part of their role and job. They need to do it. So that's the that's what we do. We provide companies a software which helps them to create their own digital employees, and we also provide pre-built digital employees. For example, a digital contact center agent, or a digital HR assistant, or a digital supply chain assistant, so on. So these assistants, actually these workers, work like humans and do all the repetitive work while collaborating with their masters or their teams, right? That's the product that we take for study about.
Really fascinating. So I guess this would be an evolution on traditional BPM solutions and RPA products, where instead of having just, a bot or something doing the work and some sort of process automation, you go several steps further and have this digital, AI-driven worker.
Exactly. So that is a fundamental difference. There are tools companies where you can bring some 10, 15 tools and use the software to bring an automated process. We see it from a different angle. We see it from we are a capability company. It means we enable different digital capabilities through digital employees.
BPM, RPA, these are all tools that actually help in the part of the process automation toolkit. That's one dimension where you have a lot of software tools that actually you're giving it to customers to automate their day-to-day processes. The other approach is where you're actually giving a capability, saying, hey, I'll give you a contact center agent who actually can augment your team, AI contact center agent. Similarly, I can give you a HR assistant. I can give you a IT assistant who actually can take care of your IT problem. So what we go with is an approach where we give a pre-built, trained AI workers than, taking a bunch of tools and then trying to figure it out. Ours is a packaged AI approach where we package pre-built NLP, pre-built robotic automation specific to some very standard use cases across 4 major areas that we identified, like the contact centers, mostly in the contact center space, facing 4 key stakeholders like the customers, employees, suppliers, and IT. So this is what we do, TechForce.ai, and we're trying to give them these as a ready to hire kind of digital employees. Whereas you can extend them with our toolkit, or you can actually create completely new employee from our toolkit. We have a full stack automation technology behind it, but it doesn't mean that we want you to buy our technology. We want you to, take our e-workers. That's the fundamental difference how we approach from, tool companies versus us.
It's really fascinating, BJ. I do a lot of work in BPM and all the space that we described. I just made an investment recently in an NLP company. It's exciting to me to see how rapidly these spaces are advancing and in some ways converging. I mean, RPA was a brand new thing 5 years ago, and now it almost seems old school compared to what the things that you're doing.
Exactly. So RPA is probably the last leg, right? In the whole nine yards. So what we do is only to connect with legacy applications, which is actually, I don't know, Josh, we are following enterprise, even in the mid segment to enterprise segment, even a lot of small companies that we work with today in our SaaS model. All the companies, when we looked at it, not even 20% of their enterprise applications are API ready.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah, and there's so much hype about SaaS and APIs. I think it's very, very early stage. Still, companies have a long way to go to adopt all these SaaS applications and rip and replace their existing, .NET applications, Java applications, and their own enterprise applications, the cards applications that they have. So there's a lot of technical debt and legacy applications that are out there. Who are going to work with them to transform the processes on top of them? So I think that's where RPA is definitely a must-have tool in the whole big set of process automation. But what we see is, with the combination of BPM, RPA, OCR, and NLP technologies in our stack, we are able to create these digital workers in less than 2 weeks, and sometimes in complex use cases around 6 to 8 weeks, and get these employees, digital employees hired by companies and charge them annually and monthly, like you hire, full-time employees or, annual or monthly basis. And we do have some workers who actually work on an hourly basis. So it's just, we're so excited to be in this space and doing things in our own way. And, while our customers are appreciating the difference between, buying license-based softwares versus, having the ability to have these digital employees joining their teams and doing the work for them while supported and managed by TechForce.
You raised some really good points, Vijay. I think sometimes for me, since I work primarily in, either startups or scale-up size companies, and we're all, high tech, cloud focused, my perspective gets a little bit jaded. And I think, okay, well, everybody's API driven and everybody's in the cloud and, because that's the bubble I live in. But you're right. When you get outside the bubble and you look at the market as a whole, inside the enterprise, very little of their software infrastructure is API driven. And only a very small percentage of those enterprise apps are cloud ready. I read a stat last week that said that they think cloud saturation today, we're only about 5% of the way there in terms of the growth we have in front of us for moving applications to the cloud. Some of the most innovative companies I've met over the last year were monetizing at the API level. So rather than charging for a feature or a user or, some other consumption-based usage model, they're charging on API calls, which I thought was really fascinating and a giant leap forward in terms of how people can monetize what I think is becoming the most important part of the application infrastructure, especially if you're interacting with digital workers.
Exactly. So, that's why we kept both APIs, RPAs, both as our equal importance, I would say, through our BPM workflow engine that we have, we can integrate with any SOAP, REST, I'm talking a little technical here, but any API standard protocols we are able to integrate with. At the same time, we don't want to limit customers to, hey, we'll only work with, this cloud application, or if you have an API, I'll work with you. We cannot say that. One funny fact is, Josh, there's a customer of ours who said, hey, I need RPA on Salesforce. I said, why? Why do you want to do RPA on Salesforce? It's a new age cloud application, everything is an API. He said, it takes almost a month or two for me to build an API and, cost more than that to maintain it. I would actually have a simple RPA, log into and do my job than worrying about all this technology stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, people are more comfortable doing painkillers than trying to get the treatment done in some cases. Because in the IT, if you are, crunched with budgets, you would rather choose painkillers than, trying to do something all the way through to transform your applications and, you know, how many you can transform at once. So you'll have to choose your bets. So that's where we see a lot of value of our digital workers plugging the, bringing the these legacy applications into the digital transformation, journey, right? And just being the bridge between the legacy apps and the digital apps.
Think that attitude is pretty pervasive in IT. I would almost call it a psychosis. And I think maybe part of it is because, you know, we're all sort of expecting the industry to shift rapidly. And so when we're making a major investment in, you know, overhauling an application or something like that, a lot of people just think that if they continue to, you know, use a Band-Aid on the problem, or as you mentioned, take a painkiller, that the pain may resolve itself sort of on its own eventually. And I think that's it's a common approach, but it's a really hard one to get behind, because those things only get resolved if you evolve your ecosystem, and there's no time better than today to start.
Absolutely. So I think the companies have to take bimodal approach, keep transforming their IT towards their strategic initiatives, keep the lights on for rest of the applications, but still it's an option to have one application is not participating in a digital customer journey. If you look at from customer experience journeys, and out of entire journey, even one application is not participating in the end-to-end journey, or you have a broken experience there. So I think it's important to have continue to transform, continue to evolve. I think that a lot of low-code, no-code platforms are helping customers to build new age applications very quickly, fast. I think the world will still be there to continue to bridge with the new.
And do you imagine this process evolving to the point that an individual worker or practitioner would one day say, hey, I'm going to hire two digital workers to augment what I'm doing in my role? Or do you imagine that it will continue to be sort of driven from the top down as an enterprise approach?
Yeah. So, the way that so far it's been, Josh, it's a very interesting question that you asked. So far, if you look at automation as a software segment, right? I'm sure you've seen the industry, you've seen ERPs, you've seen the COTS, the .NET, yes, the C Sharp, the Java.
Absolutely.
Era, and then you've seen the ERP era where SAP, Oracle, then you've seen the cloud era where Salesforce, ServiceNow, Workday, all these applications driving the growth. But if you look at the overall, when these applications are evolving into a next generation, and if you look at process automation, which is pretty new, right? Like a 3 to 5 years kind of. So if you look at SAP, SAP has 500,000 customers today, right? Microsoft has a million plus customers today because they have a broader, much more user-friendly, user-based tools and software. So look at SAP, right? SAP is 500,000 customers. Oracle has 400,000 plus ERP customers. You combine entire process automation industry today, all the softwares, leading softwares, they might add up to 15,000, 10 to 20,000, somewhere between that. So it's a very, very early stage, and the canvas is so big. All ERP customers are a potential customers of process automation because, you know, the promise of ERP is never delivered to the level from the adoption's point of view, right? So that is where most of our workforce work today. Most of our digital workers work on these enterprise applications, ERP, CRMs, HCMs, marketing tools, doing the work that human people do, 80% of the work manually outside those applications. That is the part that we are automating, while those applications are automated some 20% of the workflows. So what we see is, while process automation as a segment is maturing, and there is such a big list of customers or a canvas that is open for everybody to work with. And I think going on cloud, being a cloud first approach, giving a solution based approach for AI and automation is the way to go. And that reflects in our customers, the way that they're adapting. They come and ask us today saying, hey, while it was earlier top down, Now, a user comes to us and say, hey, I need an assistant. I'm doing this work every day. Can I use your free community edition to do that? I said, yeah, go ahead, please. We have a free community edition. You can do it by yourself. You can learn it for a couple of days, look at those videos and do it by yourself. I think process automation has been a top-down journey so far. But if you want to take these 10,000 customers or 15,000 customers to 400,000, you need to go with a product-led growth. You need to have users asking for more automation by themselves, more assistance for themselves. And I think that's where the journey would be going forward.
I think it's super fascinating. You know, as a senior technologist, as you are, when I'm walking around companies I've invested in my portfolio and meeting with teams, I commonly find people that are doing jobs where they could do four or five times as much work if they had a digital assistant working with them. And mm-hmm. I think that when we're using next generation apps and backend systems, as you mentioned, like Salesforce and NetSuite and things like that, that are API driven, it's a really interesting opportunity. And I think that to blend a product-led growth approach into a digital workforce approach, where your employees maybe use part of the feature set on their own, and you know, you find out over time, hey, I've got 30 people that are all using TechForce AI for free. We should invest with TechForce AI as an enterprise, and you know, get some added value through analytics and things like that that we don't get when they use it individually. I think it's really fascinating.
Exactly. If you look at TechForce AI, we are the only process automation company with a free community edition with no restrictions. You know, our competition restricts them for developers. You can't go to production. Some competition restricts them by size of the company. If you're a you know, company with less than 5 million revenue, then you can use our free edition. So, but we have a very, you know, if you go to our website, you can download and start building a software robot for yourself, an employee digital worker, an assistant for yourself. We do have some premium advanced features like, you know, collaboration between different digital workers, you know, human to digital worker orchestration, collaboration, you know, and we have enterprise single sign-on integration. So there are so many features that we do provide only through our enterprise editions. But I think as an individual, there's nothing stopping you today to, you know, you can't comply and say, hey, I'm actually doing a lot of mundane, boring work and I have no options. So there are options for free today. I think everybody, it's a life skill in 5 to 10 years that everybody has to make sure that they are doing only value-adding work and you know, automate their own repetitive and mundane work. That's what we see how the world will evolve into. And sometimes, you know, a lot of people ask the question, say, are you reducing jobs? The world is in a bad spot. Why are you, you know, automation? Do we need automation? But, you know, what I would say all the time is it's a hype that these technologies or digital workers are, you know, causing jobs. I would say if not now, in 6 months, that job will anyway not be not there by using some other software. So we're not actually, maybe only 10% of the use cases are like that. 90% of the use cases are actually assistant use cases, actually which are enhancing or augmenting somebody to be more productive. So, and that's where what all our deployments are, customers are using these technologies for. And we believe in that, you know, these technologies will augment human productivity at scale and it will be a life skill in 5 to 10 years.
And Vijay, what's the skill level required for a user to configure and begin to leverage one of these digital workers?
So today, some of our e-workers are completely no code. Some of our e-workers are low code in the sense you need to have basic programming construct understanding. What is a loop means? What is a, you know, parameter means? What is, you know, date from date ABCD to date, and, you know, date MMDD, YYY, do you have to transform it to some other format? So some of these basic programming understanding, a business analyst slash a business programmer who can do basic programming, I would say. I would not say advanced programming, 1 year experience or so, who understand that, should be able to create these digital workers for themselves. And our journey is to make it much more easier, no-code digital workforce platform for anybody to come and create their digital assistants. While we also provide a lot of these skills, we have, the way that our platform works is we have e-workers and we have skills. Skills are like, you know, what normally we bring to the table as an individual. We all have expertise and skills, which actually we use on our job. So similarly, our e-workers are trained on skills, whether it's the speech skills, whether it's the writing skills, whether it's doing skills. So we are pre-training them, and we want to make sure that at least for many regular job titles, you can actually directly, without thinking about anything else, you can just start hiring digital workers going forward. And that would be shift from the thinking of hiring strategy itself, right? So people would, we would like to not touch the IT 2-3% budget. We want really to touch the 35-40% budget that companies have for the workforce and say, hey, now there's going to be a blended workforce. I'm going to have a human workforce. Why should I hire, I should have digital workforce and doing job work, getting the work done. So that's where we are seeing.
And Vijay, what inspired you to get into tech, as a child or maybe a teenager? What kind of led you down this path?
So, I don't know. I mean, the place where I grew up, everybody wants to be engineer. Everybody yeah. wants to be in computing. So I think that happened naturally to us. But I think at some point I started realizing that tech can add great value in solving human problems at scale by looking at people like what Bill Gates is doing, what many companies, and there are many other visionaries and inspirations. But what I felt is, if you want to do something at scale, you need to bring technology into it, because you can't scale with humans, because it's not easy to convince. The only way that we can make any lasting impression or a big impact is using technology. So I think that's where the passion started developing into an idea into a product today.
That's fascinating. I always like to ask people, what inspired them to get into technology. So many of us have, different stories about that. What's next for TechForce AI?
See, we have a North Star mission, Josh. We want to have every worker in the world to have an assistant, right? That's a North Star. It would be TechForce assistant, or it could be somebody else's, but I think in everybody's laptop, everybody would have a work assistant in not more than 5 years from now. That's given. So we want to power as much as that. In that journey, the idea is to make it much more easier to build these, have everybody an assistant. And we have a lot more on the product roadmap to create these pre-built AI skills, whether understanding some document, understanding some industry languages, insurance industry, banking industry. So we're doing a lot of work on packaging AI, which I think is the next big thing for us and next big thing for the industry as well. That currently today an AI project is, you bring a lot of data and then a bunch of data scientists sitting and together and trying to create a model. And the same thing is being done in another room, next room, by a different company, right? And people think we are all cool. We are all doing AI. We are all data scientists. But you're also processing social security numbers, and those guys also processing social security numbers. So I think we packaging these AI models and skills and give them as reusable for e-workers is the next big thing. And we are actually on the journey already with our first ready to hire contact center agent, which we launched just now as a SaaS, where anybody can create and hire a simple contact center, call center by themselves in less than a day. And without having any agent, they can start taking and making calls. That's our first SaaS solution. And in the journey, we're going to bring more SaaS e-workers to the market.
That's fantastic. I also saw on your bio that you do some work with a nonprofit, NASCOM. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. NASCOM is a great supporter champion for Indian IT and technology ecosystem. Been on both sides with NASCOM. I've been on the industry side, sponsoring and actively doing work with NASCOM to build a talent pool both in India and in the US. Now, being on this side of the journey, I've been contributing as a part of a NASCOM steering committee member to build startup ecosystem in India, right? And also, doing a lot of work in the NASCOM industry bodies to promote openness and promote AI and based solutions in the USA from adoption point of view. So that's been, NASCOM been a great champion for us, and we are now trying to give it back by contributing to certain committees and bodies in NASCOM.
Awesome. Well, Vijay, I've really enjoyed our talk today. We're out of time, but this is one of my funnest podcasts I've done. I love the fact that you're doing the nonprofit work, helping with, you know, students in STEM areas to advance their careers. I love what you're doing around digital workforce. I share your vision. I think that 5 years from now, most of us will have digital assistants that help us through our days. And I really look forward to that time. I think that it's very necessary. And, you know, I think a lot of us spend a lot of our day doing repetitive tasks that we could automate and, you know, focus on things that add more value.
Absolutely, Josh. So as a parting comment, I would like to offer a comment, because you're well-networked, you know the people, you have connections. So TechForce is a free software for nonprofits in across the world. For nonprofits, if they want to build digital employees for themselves, because they are normally cash and fund starved most of the times, they need funding to continue. So we offer our software free for every new nonprofit organization, which is part of some of the causes that we support, like child education and health and healthcare and financial inclusion, and so on. So we don't support the political and religious ones, but the other humanity-related nonprofits. Our software is free. So in case you can share it with your network, that would be great. We would like to
absolutely
add that to that ecosystem.
I will absolutely do so. Thank you so much for attending. For everyone out there listening, this was Vijay, who is the Chief Customer Officer and co-founder at techforce.ai. Their website, you can visit https://techforce.ai and learn more. Vijay, thanks so much for being on the podcast. I really enjoyed it, and I'll talk to you again soon.
It's a pleasure, Josh. Thanks very much.
That's it, everyone, and thank you for joining Capital Geek. Subscribe via Apple, Stitcher, or any platform where you usually find fantastic podcasts. Tune in again soon for another great episode of Capital Geek.